From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
We did everything right. I had those conversations with him, and fentanyl still found my son. And on February 27th, 2022, our lives were shattered, and our baby was gone.
That was Ann Fundner speaking at last night's GOP convention in Milwaukee. Her 15-year-old son died from fentanyl 2 years ago. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm your host. Thanks for joining us for this Wednesday edition. Last night, the major topic was the open southern border and its threat to the nation. Tennessee Congressman Andy Ogles will provide more on the focus of last night's convention. The 2024 GOP convention's priorities do differ quite significantly from the last convention that was held in 2016. Asked about the changes to the party's longstanding views on life, marriage, and family, Eric Trump said this.
I'm proud of the party. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, this country has real holes in the roof, and you've got to fix those holes, and you've got to stop worrying about the little, you know, spot on the wall in the basement. You've got to fix those holes.
Well, I think life is a little more than a spot on the wall. But some say the party must moderate certain social issues to actually win the election. But is that justification for Christians to deprioritize fundamental biblical stands for life, marriage, and family? We're going to explore that topic with Larry Taunton, executive director of Fixed Point Foundation. And speaking of social issues, on Monday, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law a blatant attack on parents' rights in the left's effort to radicalize children. AB 1955 would prevent and overturn school policies that require parents to be informed if their child asks to be referred to by a name or pronoun that differs from their biological sex. Chino Valley Unified School District has filed suit against the state, and we're going to talk with the president of the Chino Valley School Board, Sonia Shaw, in just a moment. Following revelations by a whistleblower that the St. Louis Pediatric Transgender Clinic at Washington University was using experimental drugs, Attorney General Andrew Bailey launched a full government investigation. What was the result? Well, he's going to join us later with an update. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources there for you. I also encourage you to download the Stand Firm app and never miss another edition of Washington Watch or my daily Stand on the Word Bible devotional. Go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. Well, before we go to our first guest, let's check in with Washington Watch correspondent Victoria Marshall, who's over in the Convention Center. Victoria, give us an update.
Thanks, Tony. We are here for day three of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Just a quick recap of the events of last night. The theme was Make America Safe Again. So obviously focusing on Joe Biden's lax border policies and the worst border crisis in history that is happening at our southern border. There were several victims of his policies that spoke, a mother who lost her son to fentanyl and a father who lost his daughter to who was murdered by an illegal immigrant. So obviously some emotional stories. Another theme of the night and also a theme of this week is a unity. So the different factions within the GOP coming together to coalesce behind Donald Trump. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley spoke, giving her full endorsement to the president, as well as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Both highlighted how the country was much better off during the Trump administration and how the country cannot afford, and Americans cannot afford, another 4 years of the Biden administration. Now, tonight, Ohio Senator and now Vice Presidential Candidate J.D. Vance is going to be speaking to the convention. It'll be really interesting to hear what he has to say. Obviously, J.D. Vance kind of represents fulfillment of Trump's 2016 campaign, which was this huge realignment within the GOP of kind of focusing more on a pro-worker policy and also an America First isolationist, more of like a much more of a populist sounding platform and policy. And so we'll be seeing what he says tonight. And we'll be here on the ground covering the speeches. And we'll talk to you tomorrow with more news from the convention. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Victoria. Well, on Monday, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law that makes California the first state to ban school districts from requiring that parents be notified if their child wants to identify as a different gender at school. Now, following this assault on parental rights, the Chino Valley Unified School District has sued Governor Newsom, saying this law violates the rights of parents as well as the U.S. Constitution. Joining me now to discuss this and more is the president of the school board for Chino Valley, Sonia Shaw. Sonia, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
It's good to see you, Tony. Thank you for having me on.
So let's start back. This was a policy that your school district worked to put into place. In fact, other school districts have done the same since you all led the way. In May, the assembly there passed a law, was signed into law on Monday. So let's talk about what this bill would do in terms of information that goes to parents.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you mentioned AB 1955 came about because of districts like ours who passed a policy that would inform parents if their child were to want to change their sex at school and make an official or unofficial record change. Now, with that said, we were still in court. We still have a legal battle going on when Abonta, with the support of the state superintendent, Tony Thurman, and other organizations and special interest groups like the unions, decided to sue us for that policy. They called our policy an illegal policy, all to turn around and gut and amend AB 1955, push it through in the month of June. And obviously Newsom signed it during a time when our country should be uniting and mourning the loss of, you know, people who have lost their family members and the attempted assassination on President Trump. He signed it during that time on purpose so he can kind of slide it under the radar. But we were watching, we were waiting, and within a day, thank God, Liberty Justice came to help us. God always provides, and we filed suit back on Newsom, Bonta, and Thurman.
Sonia, that is a little fast for a piece of legislation to make its way through.
I'm so sorry, yes. It is. Absolutely. Well, I thought you were going to say I spoke too fast, but there's so much information going on.
No, right. I mean, I've been in the legislative process, and for a measure to move through that fast tells me that this was intentional and there is strong special interest behind it.
Well, Tony, what we did back in March is, you know, because we had a preliminary injunction on us to not push our policy forward, I still, you know, went to God, asked what safeguards can we put in place. We developed another policy that was enabled us to tell parents of everything and everything, anything. And I don't think that they liked that. So they went ahead and pushed this through because we were going to share that policy with other districts because it's not just about Chino Valley. This is about all kids that we're trying to make sure that are safe. And with that said, they decided to push through AB 1955, right? And open that up. And you know, like you just said, they broke every rule. I sat there and watched every hearing. Everything was pushed by. The rules didn't matter when they pushed that through in the month of June. I mean, think about it. They got an amended bill. And for normal folk like me, that's a big thing to just do it and do it within 4 weeks. By the end of the month of June, it was already on Newsom's desk waiting. And he had 20 business days or so many business days. I can't remember how many it was. And of course, he decides to sign it during this time. But it was definitely intentional. They knew that we were not going to give up, and they were going to lose the battle in court eventually. But that's why we watch. We keep an eye on it. We're still passionate about making sure kids are safe, and our legal team was ready. We had parents already. I have so many parents right now. Where can we sign up? How can we help? And I think it's important to know the majority is on our side when it comes to this, Tony. People want to make sure kids are safe.
Well, and we've had you on the program before back when that measure was first introduced to tell your story of how you got involved as a parent, ran for the school board, had a pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs, a close friend of mine, mm-hmm. my battle buddy, who you attend his church. This is what it means to get involved, to be salt and light. Now, this policy will go into effect in January of this coming year. So you've got a little bit of time to stop it by challenging it in court. What are your attorneys telling you kind of the timeline that you're looking at?
I mean, obviously, we're at the mercy of the court system, but we also know God opens up the doors and he provides when it's needed. So, I mean, I'm praying that everybody is, we have a great team. So I'm praying that we get a preliminary injunction eventually very soon, and we're able to stop it at least temporarily while it goes through the court system, because we all know the process of going through the court system isn't going to be a gut and amend process how it was prior to them passing AB 1955. But with that said, I just think it's important that we continue to put safeguards in place in the meantime. I am open to sharing our current policy with any board member, any parent, and like what I learned from you, Tony, we need to pray, stand, and vote and get people in these local positions that will push back on this and make sure kids are safe.
Well, Sonia, I love the stand spirit that you have. We're not going to give up. We'll find another way to protect our children. I want you to respond to a spokesman from Governor Newsom that said this new law that they just signed into law on Monday, quote, and I'm quoting, preserves the child-parent relationship, end quote. Your response?
Gaslighting and lies, they continue from Newsom. He has continued to reveal his just evil agenda. And how in the world is keeping a secret from a parent allowing a child and parent relationship? What you're doing is you're severing that by telling the child, you're safe with me and you're not safe with your parent. We're safe over your parent knowing something. And that is horrific to even see him say that. But I'm almost so glad that they keep putting their foot in the mouth, because through all these things that they say and do, more people are able to pray and fight alongside us. Because if they didn't, it's hard to tell the story. There's so much daily involvement in what they're doing and what they're doing to districts like ours for taking the stand. But to Newsom, I just think he needs to stop his gaslighting. We see right through it. To say that you can't tell the parent and turn around and say that actually helps the parent-child relationship, that's bizarre. I mean, common sense would say that does not make sense at all, right?
Well, I think common sense left California government a long time ago. Elon Musk announcing yesterday that both SpaceX and the social media platform X would be moving their California headquarters to Texas, partially in response to this law. Is this the straw that is going to break the camel's back when it comes to people that are saying enough is enough?
Tony, Elon said it himself. That was the straw, right? But we also know it's not just his business that has left or plans on leaving. And it's not just the families that have left and plan on leaving. I think it's going to leave a definite bruise on California. Because, you know, it is a sad story when you find a big business that supplies so many jobs to these families who are trying to just put food on the table right now. And now those things are ripped away, which I don't blame him. I do not fault Elon Musk at any point. I think what he's doing is very smart. But at the same token, there's many of us, whether it's near or far, fighting the good fight for California, because we know that, you know, God is keeping a lot of us here, right. Even though, you know, a lot of us can flee, to protect the children. And in the meantime, kids are being hurt. And I think that's what we need to remember. While some might have the blessing of leaving, there's others that don't. And in the meantime, again, kids are being hurt. And we need to realize that we have a moral obligation and responsibility to fight for those children and those families.
Well, and we are grateful, Sonia Shaw, for that fight that you are waging. And we want to pray for that growing remnant in California that's willing to stand. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll continue to track this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And speaking of children being hurt, we're going to go to the Attorney General of Missouri next. Andrew Bailey joins us with an update from that state. Don't go away.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. If you've not yet downloaded the Stand Firm app, I encourage you to go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. You'll never miss another edition of Washington Watch. According to the whistleblower who exposed the dangerous child mutilation and other gender procedures taking place at the St. Louis Pediatric Transgender Clinic at Washington University, the facility has quietly ceased operations and will be permanently shutting down. Now, this comes following an investigation by Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey into the clinic's abuses after this whistleblower exposed that the center used experimental drugs on minor children and pressured parents into consenting to such drugs for their children. Joining me now to discuss this latest news is Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. General Bailey, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Well, this is a very significant story when it comes to the safety of children in your state, and I can't help but say it's got to be related to your investigation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we've been fighting and winning to protect children from this kind of gender mutilation and woke left-wing experimentation since I took office back in January of 2023. And as you know, this investigation is the first of its kind in this nation, multi-agency. We've demanded a moratorium on these procedures, worked with our General Assembly to get a bill passed, then successfully defended the bill that prohibits future procedures in the state of Missouri. But the bill had a problem in the sense that it grandfathered in anyone that was any children currently undergoing these kind of dangerous procedures. And so what we're seeing time and time again is the pressure that we've kept on this issue is causing these clinics to shut down permanently. And that's a huge win for the health and safety of children in Missouri.
Now, as you mentioned, this process, once you began this, included the legislature there in Missouri passing a law to ban the practice, which was challenged in court, and you successfully defended that law in court. Could this be something that we begin to see now spreading across the country?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. We feel like we've laid out a blueprint for a trial strategy of how states can fight and win to defend similar legislation enacted in their states. You know, we put the evidence to the test and demonstrated that there was no medicine or science to back up the administration of dangerous, powerful chemicals that alter these young, innocent children's bodies forever. Irreversible surgeries that deny the children the opportunity to enjoy the full spectrum of adulthood. And I approach this from the position that how dare anyone tell these kids that God put them in the wrong body. We know he doesn't make mistakes. So proud of the work that my office has done and proud to pass it on to other states. And we know that there's a case going up to the United States Supreme Court out of Tennessee. I think the states have a compelling interest in protecting children from this kind of left-wing experimentation. And certainly that's what we've done in Missouri.
General Bailey, let me ask you a question. With them quietly closing, could this be an effort to try to stop your probe? Because you have an ongoing investigation. You're still trying to get documents that they have refused to release to you. Could this be that they don't want certain things exposed, which could bring the whole house of cards down nationally, so that they're trying to protect the rest of the industry that's doing this?
I think that's absolutely right. Certainly there's been a pressure campaign after the governor signed the bill prohibiting these procedures in the future. Once the governor signed that into law, there was a pressure campaign against my office to cease the investigations and look back in time. And the point that I make is, just because we're preventing wrongdoing going forward doesn't mean we're not still going to fight for justice for the victims of this mutilation industry that have suffered in the past. And moreover, we need to ensure that we have the proper policy positions in place to safeguard against abuses in the future. And that requires looking at what went wrong in the past. So we're not going to let up on this investigation. I'm glad that we're fighting and winning and shutting these clinics down, but we're still going to look back in time and hold wrongdoers accountable.
Let me go back to something you just mentioned, General Bailey. So if you expose certain things, that they willfully did things knowing that it endangered these children, that could be used in civil lawsuits being taken by victims of this, leading them to greater exposure. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. And one of the best parts of the bill that the General Assembly enacted was they expanded the statute of limitations to 15 years, because we know some of the most severe harms from these dangerous and irreversible procedures don't fully mature until later in life. And so giving the victims of this mutilation industry longer to bring their claims is really essential and an enormous deterrent effect against these clinics.
So, I mean, this could be, I know the parallel is not perfect, but when you had the tobacco industry hiding certain information that was detrimental to people, once that was exposed, that's where you saw millions of dollars in lawsuits filed against them, judgments coming against them, essentially crippling the tobacco industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it also enacted, it was a forcing function for industry-wide transformative change. And that's what we seek in this investigation and in our pursuit of these documents. And we're not going to be stonewalled. We've won at the trial court level against many of these other clinics, and we'll continue fighting any clinic that tries to thwart the state's effort to look back in time and determine what kind of abuses occurred.
I know, General Bailey, this would be asking you to speculate somewhat, but I think you've seen enough now to have a good anticipation of what you might find if you're able to press forward and get the documents. What are you hoping to learn?
Well, I'm saddened to learn about the abuses that occurred, and I think that the report that was issued out of England with the clinic in England and how they began these dangerous procedures and then the referrals to their clinic for this mutilation increased exponentially to the point that they were creating victims on an enormous scale, and it became unmanageable and even traumatized some of the staff that worked at the clinic in England. I think that the evidence here in Missouri is going to largely comport with that experience in England, and so, again, it's important to shine the light of truth on this and make it transparent so that we can ensure this never happens in the future.
Final question for you. Just got about 45 seconds left, General Bailey, but you've been focused on these clinics with the gender mutilation of children, experimental drugs, but you've also been focused on Planned Parenthood as well. You know, some are saying the Republican Party should kind of moderate and back away from the sanctity of life and these social issues, that they're a political liability. What would you say to that?
I am never going to surrender or retreat from my protection of children and protection of life to include the unborn.
Well, and we're grateful that you're in the position that you're in, and you have exemplified that fight for life in your role. So thanks so much for your work, and thanks for joining us to discuss this good news out of Missouri today.
Thanks for having me on, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right. Attorney General Andrew Bailey of Missouri. And by the way, folks, this is one of the positions, attorneys general across the country at the state level, that have become so important today, especially as people say, well, the abortion issue, that's a state issue. Really? I don't think it is. It is a battle at the state level. But that's why we need attorneys general like Andrew Bailey and others fighting for life. All right. Don't go away. We're going to be back with more Washington Watch on this Wednesday afternoon, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with you. With us, rather. It's day three of the Republican National Convention with Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance scheduled to deliver this evening his first major address since joining the ticket. The last night event included speeches from multiple presenters who have seen their families shattered by the Biden administration's border crisis and its ensuing lawlessness. So what should viewers anticipate this evening? Joining me now is another Tennessee congressman. Andy Ogles was not able to be with us. He got pulled into a meeting. And so grateful that Congressman Chuck Fleischman has been able to join us. He serves on the House Appropriations Committee and the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of Tennessee. Chuck, welcome to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Tony, it's always great to see you. And thank you, first and foremost, for what you and the Family Research Council do. God bless you all.
Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Let's talk about the open southern border. That was really highlighted last night as the impact that that's had on families. Talk about that.
Well, Tony, in another Congress, I was the ranking member, the highest Republican on Homeland Security appropriations. We funded the border wall. We made Joe Biden sign an appropriations bill that was supposed to fund the wall. He didn't build the wall. Donald Trump was building the wall. The border was safe. I will say this. The Biden administration has had a lot of failures, but the border is the worst. He incentivized illegal immigration and then did nothing to stop it. It's been open. It's been porous. It's dangerous. Tony, we don't know who has come in, and now people are suffering because of it. Good, hardworking, law-abiding Americans are suffering because of the Biden border policies.
And Chuck, we're not even talking about the potential threat of terrorist attacks that could come from those who have crossed the border. We're talking about fentanyl, the drugs. We're talking about the crime, the murders that have taken place. You know, I think my takeaway in listening to some of the remarks last night was the value of human life. And I think that's front and center, even after the president and the assassination attempt. I mean, just not even an inch. From death. Last night, House Speaker Mike Johnson spoke on the need to protect life in every zip code, speaking of the unborn. How do we keep that as a priority for the Republican Party? Is some saying, you know, we need to moderate on the issue of the sanctity of life. But yet, that was a priority in terms of life that's born. We need to welcome all life into this world. How do we keep that as a priority?
Well, Tony, thank God. I didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime. I worked towards it, but we finally saw Roe versus Wade overturned by the Supreme Court. It was always flawed constitutional law with horrific consequences for the innocent unborn. Now it's being left to the states. But the way that we need to do this, Tony, first and foremost, I think we need to pray. We need to make sure that we're in the churches. We need to talk about the value of life. We've got to change hearts. Just as we ask hearts to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we need to make sure that we have hearts out there for the unborn. We can put all the laws on the books, and we can preach and teach, but we've got to change people's hearts. You're doing that. I'm doing that. We need to see that across this great nation. It took 50 years to overrule Roe versus Wade. Now let's change the hearts along with the minds, and we're going to get there.
Yeah, that is very well stated. This is everybody's role, and it is having those conversations about the sanctity of life. But it's also the volunteers at the care pregnancy centers, which are really struggling right now. We need to fund those efforts. I'm talking about individuals funding those care pregnancy centers, volunteering in those. But we also need to make sure at the federal level that we're not funding Planned Parenthood, we're not funding abortion and those who would promote that. I think that needs to be a priority of the next Congress to ensure that if in fact Donald Trump is the president, that's a priority, that we're defunding those who would promote this.
Well, Tony, you're absolutely right. And let me draw a stark contrast between the Republicans and the Democrats. You're absolutely right. On the Republican side, there are different gradations of pro-life. Let me be simple. I am pro-life. You are pro-life. But on the Democratic side, we had situations where the radical left was allowing, in some cases, championing infanticide, mm-hmm. babies that were being aborted right at the end of the last trimester. Even Roe versus Wade wasn't that bad. But that's what they're trying to do in these radical left-wing states. So what we've got to do is work hard. But again, when we cherish life, we've got to cherish motherhood. We've got to make sure that we value that. But again, it's at the dinner table. It's in our churches. It's in our community centers. And we need to make sure it's on our college campuses. Yeah. I believe conservatism can make a comeback on college campuses. Donald Trump will make that happen again. I believe J.D. Vance will do that as well.
Congressman, just about 45 seconds left. What do you anticipate tonight?
Another great night. Tony, this is my third convention. This is the most vibrant, most unifying. I expect to hear more of the same. J.D. Vance is going to talk. But I will tell you this. There's great unity, optimism. There's thrill on the floor. The Republican Party is back and strong. We're behind Donald Trump. We're behind the Trump ticket. Please don't forget our House and Senate Republicans. I'm one of them. We need to make sure that we keep the legislative branch and then, God willing, keep conservative judges getting appointed by the executive branch. We need that.
Absolutely. We will not let people forget that we have great men and women in Congress that need to go back there and continue to defend faith, family, and freedom, and you're one of them. Chuck, thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you all.
All right. Congressman Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee. And that is something that I strongly encourage you to do, is give your time and money to those who are aligned with you when it comes to those core value issues. All right? And we do that at FRC Action. All right, don't go away. We're going to continue our conversation about the 2024 GOP convention with Larry Taunton next. Don't go away.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Thanks for joining us for Washington Watch. And again, if you've not yet downloaded the Stand Firm app, lots of resources there for you, as well as not only action items, but community. We've got prayer groups, we've got Bible study, and you'll get the Washington Stand in your news feed. It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty neat app. So go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. Our word for today comes from Psalm 61. Hear my cry. O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Discouraged and disheartened, where does David turn? Well, he turned to the rock. David begins with a plea for help, but through stirring up his remembrance of the Lord's faithfulness and his promises, David ends with hopeful praise. This is a great psalm to pray to the Lord in those times when you need God to break through in your life, because you know what? God is a God of breakthroughs. To find out more about our two-year journey through the Bible, to join us in our daily devotional, simply text Bible to 67742. Well, as we've been talking, the Republican National Convention set to kick off a third evening of festivities. The GOP has expressed unity following the assassination attempt on Republican nominee and former President Donald Trump. You could see it this past weekend after the news broke Saturday night, a shift in the atmosphere in Milwaukee. But many observers have also noted there's still an undercurrent of division at the convention. Even as some speeches champion the sanctity of life in every zip code, as I mentioned, the House Speaker said, the Republican Party has also platformed speakers who reject core party principles, including the value of the sanctity of life. Well, given the Democrats' obsession with their unholy trinity of abortion, LGBTQ, and the climate, how should Christians respond to the muddled messaging that once was so clear between the two parties? Well, joining me now to discuss this is columnist and executive director of the Fixed Point Foundation, Larry Taunton. Larry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always great to be with you, Tony.
So I know you've been observing what's been taking place thus far this week, in addition to what took place last week with the platform that kind of jettisoned a lot of those core value issues. You know, many people, and I hear this, and I'm sure you've seen it, people say, well, you know, we got to win. Don't worry about those things. We got to win. What do you say?
Well, it's very interesting, Tony. I'm in the process of writing a little Twitter article defending Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire, who expressed some concern about the platforming of Amber Rose, the unrepentant porn star and pro-abortion advocate. And man, was he ever trashed for the things that he had to say. And a lot of what the way people presented this in criticizing Walsh was to suggest that somehow he was opposed to such people joining the party, or that he wasn't about winning. And of course, I don't think that's what he was saying at all. And I know for myself, my primary concern here is you have to have core convictions. You have to have some kind of core principles that define who you are. And pro-life has been the central tenet of the Republican Party now for decades. And you have 81% of Republicans who affiliate with a church. To me, this was as in your face to that constituency, platforming her, as Trans Visibility Day was on Easter.
You go back to Ronald Reagan. In 1976, he spoke at the convention. That was when Gerald Ford was the nominee. But that's where he made his bold color speech. And it was regarding the platform. And that was the first time that we actually saw pro-life language in the platform, which has been, and he said, we got to be a party of basically big ideas and of those transcendent values and principles, and around that build a big party. And I think to your point, that's what's happened. That issue has been the bridge, which has brought many evangelicals into the political process. What happens if that is shoved to the back or minimized as it is in the current platform? What do Christians do? I mean, look, you only have two parties. You got one that's radical on abortion. You got one that's kind of muddling its message. You know, what are we to do?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, Tony. After the emotional weekend of the attempted assassination on Trump and him saying on Sunday, and I take it to be very sincere, that God alone had spared him, had saved him. They had the opportunity to come in on Monday into this convention. And wow, they could have really, really galvanized the Republican base that was already galvanized after that assassination attempt. And I'm trying to square Trump's comments that he thanks God with platforming someone who represents, again, unrepentantly, everything that God hates. I mean, we're talking about the killing, you know, of children. Now, I get it that there are those who say, well, we're doing this in order to win. We have to get votes. But the question I have is, votes for what? For pro-life? Well, apparently not. For strong families? Well, apparently not. Again, I just come back to the fact that you have to have some core principles. And those people who would criticize those of us who take issue with this in saying that you're trying to legislate morality, every meaningful law that we have is legislated morality, whether it's from child abuse all the way to murder. I mean, that's what it is. And it just means that these are people who are drawing the line somewhere else. And the way I put it with those people, you know, again, who are critical of the way we would feel about this, Tony, is I say, well, would you have been offended if they had, say, platformed an illegal alien who was for open borders? Well, immediately they said, well, that'd be a betrayal of a central party platform tenet. And I say, exactly. That's exactly the point. I think for us, Tony, the hope is that J.D. Vance, who seems to be a very strong, authentic conservative, we'll have to wait and see, but that Vance will begin to give the party some kind of moral backbone again. But I can't know that for sure.
Well, when you look at the speeches that are given there this week, that are given in Milwaukee this week, will soon be forgotten. I mean, there's very few speeches that are that stirring that people remember. But the written word endures. You're an author. You're a columnist. You write. You know, I do more talking than I do writing. You know, sometimes these clips will live on for a couple of days, but books, statements of principle, they live on. They're enduring. My bigger concern, and I've been, and I know some people are getting tired of me talking about it, but you go back to, I go back to what you said a moment ago, and that is the principles. What is the party building on? Well, those were jettisoned in this year's platform. That's disturbing because those are guideposts. Those are things, those are aspirational. That's what we're about. That's what we're pursuing. And it is around those big ideas that we build a big tent party. I think you lose the ideas, you lose the people of conviction.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Tony. Again, I think we would both want to clarify, we're not talking about what people do in private. I mean, we're not talking about trying to make the Republican Party a church. We all get it. Part of my argument in supporting Trump has been that, you know, he's not my pastor. He's not a priest. That's not what we've elected him to do. But it strikes me as odd that you would, in such an in-your-face manner, or is it that you're just this tone deaf, that those people who elected you in 2016, that you would turn around and you would do something that is offensive like this. And what that tells me is that the Trump campaign has decided they have the conservative evangelical vote no matter what. And they might be right about that, but that they have it no matter what. And therefore, they can move the party to the center. I don't know if you saw it today, Tony, but Eric Trump basically said that's where his father always was. He was never had any real problem with abortion or with homosexuality. That the party was punting, in effect, on the idea of marriage. After seeing those comments today, I'm left wondering, well, what exactly does the Republican Party stand for, morally speaking?
Well, let me play a clip from Eric. I do have a clip that I played earlier in the program. Where he was asked on NBC News about the changes, the priority changes, the platform changes. Play clip number 8.
I'm proud of the party. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, this country has real holes in the roof, and you've got to fix those holes, and you've got to stop worrying about the little, you know, spot on the wall in the basement. You've got to fix those holes.
You know, and he goes on to talk about the holes being immigration, being the economy. And I'm left to believe that the spot on the wall is the sanctity of human life, marriage, and family. I think many of us in the who are what we call sage cons, spiritually active, governance engaged conservatives, who are involved in public policy because of our faith, would take issue with that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's right. We do have holes in the roof. Globalism is a hole in the roof. The rising threat of Marxism. These are holes in the roof. But I'm also concerned with the holes in the ground, not spots on the wall. And the holes in the ground are the unborn that we are annihilating. And for me, Tony, I think there's such a golden opportunity here for the Republican Party to say, we are the party, we are the pro-human, pro-child party, because Democrats have become so vile. They're not just anti-child, they're anti-human. All of their policies are fundamentally human-hating. And what an opportunity for Republicans to say, you know what, we're pro-human, we're pro-child, we love children. Come to us, join us in our pro-human crusade as we make life better for people in this country. What a message that would resonate with people across, not just Republicans, not just with, standard conservatives, but I think that there's a lot of people who are recognizing the anti-human nature of the global left. Democrats are, of course, leading the way. But instead, what they've done is they've decided, you know what? Apparently, there's a big porn voter base that we need to attract. And so let's bring in one of their big stars to speak here and to see if we can't attract those people to vote for us. I mean, it's vile.
I think you touched on something a moment ago when you talk about Eric and Don Jr. is they were not visible in the 2016 election. They were not that involved in that campaign. They have taken a very influential role, even in the pick of the VP of J.D. Vance. So it is clear that they do not align on many of these issues. The question is going to be, will the Republican Party realize that they've got to keep that large percentage of their base, evangelical voters, engaged and motivated? You're not going to have. I've heard this multiple times. This wouldn't be the first campaign going back to Romney when he ran for president, McCain. You know, where are your people going to go? Are they going to go vote for a Democrat? No, they're not. The problem is, though, some of them may stay home. And we understand that voting is a responsibility. It's a right as an American. I think it's a responsibility as a Christian. We've got to clearly vote for the candidates that are most clearly aligned with biblical truth. But at the same time, we can voice concern and opposition to the policy positions that those candidates we support are taking.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. And again, I mean, who among us wasn't deeply moved by that image of Trump? I mean, how iconic, how brave, after the attempted assassination, a bloody Trump who tells the Secret Service to stop, to let him speak, and that fist pump and the American flag behind him. And we go from that into this kind of milquetoast so far convention where it feels like we are surrendering ground on who we are, on the things that define us and that really starkly set us apart from the Democrat Party. I think most conservatives in this country aren't interested in their choices being leftist party A and less leftist party B. And so I agree with you, Tony. There needs to be huge pushback from the conservatives within the party to say, this is the kind of nonsense that we won't tolerate. And we're not going to go along with this move to the, to quote unquote, to the center. And it's not to the center. It's actually to the hard left.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing when you're incrementally moving a movement in the right direction, but when you have tasted of truth and you've been there and then depart from it, it's a whole different issue. And I think that's where the Republican Party, it moved to a place of solid truth on the unborn, and now it's gravitating away. I think the reaction should be very, very strong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll never forget William Bennett saying this. He said that civilizations don't collapse overnight. They do it incrementally, the word that you just used. Well, the same could be said for political parties. And once you weigh anchor, you just become all sail. You no longer have principles. What you have are opinions. Yeah. And we don't want to be the party of opinions. We don't want to be the party of principles.
Larry Taunton, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Tony.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us as well. And I leave you with the words pray, vote, stand, but also the words of the Apostle Paul, who says when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken that stand, by all means, don't let go, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.